ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we will be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. Text 25. Ready? Vishnur Maya Bhagavati Yaya Samohitam Jagat Adishta Prabhunam Sena Karyarte Sambhavishyati Vishnur Maya Bhagavati Yaya Samohitam Jagat Adishta Prabhu Nam Shena Karyate Sambhavishyati Vishnur Maya Bhagavati Yaya Samohitam Jagat Adishta Prabhu Nam Shena Karyate Sambhavishyati Prabhunam Shena Karyate Sambhavishyati Vishnur Maya Bhagavati Vishnu Maya, the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Bhagavati, as good as Bhagavan and therefore known as Bhagavati. Yaya, by whom? Samohitam, captivated. Jagat, all the worlds. Both material and spiritual. Adishta, being ordered. Prabhuna, by the Master. Amshena, with her different potential factors. karyarte, for executing business. Sambhavishyati would also appear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. Purport. Parishya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate, that's Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. In the Vedas, it is said that the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called by different names, such as Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Ultimately, however, the Lord's potency is one, exactly as electric potency is one, although it can act both to cool and to heat. The Lord's potency acts in both the spiritual and material worlds. In the spiritual world, the Lord's potency works as Yogamaya, and in the material world, the same potency works as Mahamaya. Actually, as electricity works in both a heater and a cooler, In the material world, this potency, working as Mahamaya, acts upon the conditioned souls to deprive them more and more of devotional service. It is said, Yaya Samohito Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. In the material world, the conditioned soul thinks of himself as a product of Triguna, the three modes of material nature. This is the bodily concept of life, conception of life. Because of associating with the three gunas of the material potency, everyone identifies himself with his body. Someone is thinking he is a brahmana, someone a kshatriya, and someone a vaishya or shudra. Actually, however, one is neither a brahmana, a kshatriya, a vaishya, nor a shudra. One is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, Mamai Vamsha. That's Mamai Vamsa Jivaloke. Yeah. But because of being covered by the material energy, Mahamaya, one identifies himself in these different ways. When the conditioned soul becomes liberated, however, he thinks himself an eternal servant of Krishna, Jivira Sorupahaya Krishnera Nichadas. When he comes to that position, the same potency acting as Yogamaya increasingly helps him become purified and devote his energy to the service of the Lord. In either case, whether the soul is conditioned or liberated, the Lord is supreme. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. It is by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the material energy, Mahamaya, works upon the conditioned soul. Prakrite kriya manani gunai karmani sarvachaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Very popular. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature, Bhagavad Gita 3.27. Within conditioned life, no one has freedom, but because one is bewildered, being subject to the rule of Mahamaya, one foolishly thinks himself independent. Ahankara vimuratma kartaham iti manyate. But when the conditioned soul becomes liberated by executing devotional service, he is given a greater and greater chance to relish a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental statuses, such as Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. Thus, the Lord's potency, Vishnu Maya, has two features, Avaranika and Unmuka. When the Lord appeared, His potency came with him and acted in different ways. She acted as Yogamaya, which is Shoda, Devaki, and other intimate relations of the Lord. And she acted in a different way with Kamsa, Salva, and other Asuras. By the order of Lord Krishna, his potency, Yogamaya, came with him and exhibited different activities according to the time and circumstances. Karyate Sambhavishyati. Yogamaya acted differently to execute different purposes desired by the Lord. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.13, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha. The Mahatmas who fully surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord are directed by Yogamaya, whereas the Duratmas, those who are devoid of devotional service, are directed by Mahamaya. Om Gyanatim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, in this chapter, it's describing the Lord's descent and how he prepares himself for that. As usual, when the head of government or head of state travels, he would also send in advance his entourage to prepare all the necessary favorable circumstances for his appearance there and his activities. Even many of us have this experience. When we travel, we would make arrangement, contact the host wherever you're going, arranging for different activities, arranging to be picked up at the airport, arrange for prasadam, arrange for transportation, arrange for... like, there's so many arrangements, and different people would be helping to make those arrangements. So similarly with the Lord, whenever he makes his descent, he makes all these arrangements. So the Lord is never alone. Whenever he goes, he's always with his big company. Like we used to see in the past, I don't see it happening now. My god sister, Mother Rohini, whenever she comes to the temple, she has an entire entourage with her, her daughter and daughters and son-in-laws and grandchildren and a whole group. So according to Lokanath Maharaj, he said, you know, the Lord always have his entire battalion. That's a word that's being used apparently in India, also a lot in Guyana. It's like the entire battlefield, your entire group, the entire battalion. So similarly, the Lord brings his members, his group, to create that atmosphere. So in this particular verse, we are speaking of the descent of the Lord's potency, Maya. And here is described here as Vishnu Maya, which means the energy of Lord Vishnu, the energy or the potency of Lord Krishna. So this potency acts in many different ways. It's the one potency, but it acts in many different ways according to the desire of the Lord. And it acts upon us depending on where we are, where we stand, what category we're in. So all is described by one word, Maya. Initially, at least when we joined Krishna consciousness back in the Caribbean, we were thinking of Maya as only being used in a negative way. For example, if someone doesn't get up for, you know, Mangal Arati and so, you're in Maya. You know, that is a thing. If someone doesn't chant his rungs nicely, you're in Maya. If someone doesn't live in a temple, you're in Maya. If someone changed from brahmachari to get married, then for 4 or 5 months, you know, he can't hear his surrounding, all his other god brothers, you know, hey, you're in Maya. So that is like a thing is being used in that way. But here we understand, as we go through the Bhagavatam, we understand so many different ways in which the word my is being used. It's probably one of the most popular words in our society. Yeah. So this is being used in very many, many different ways. And here basically is being categorized in two ways, and then there's a hint of the third meaning, which I will talk about later on. So we have described here two descriptions of Maya. One is Mahamaya, which is basically Prakriti, basically the control of the material world to keep the conditioned souls under the clutches of Maya, right? Under the clutches of the material world. And then we have the other, Yogamaya, that helps us, which is the same personality, the same, the Lord's very servant, but acting in a different way to give us a different facility to pursue spiritual advancement. So basically, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada summarizes our journey through this material world and gives us a summary in a nutshell how we can transfer from one to the other. So this nature, as we have the material nature, or basically described here as Mahamaya, and we have the spiritual nature, which encompasses Yogamaya. And then we, the living entities, we are in between. So we are called, we are spiritual by nature, but we are called the marginal potency, or Titishta Shakti. So we are right between. With all, we are spiritual by nature, but we are right on the borderline, just like you have with the ocean, and we go there all the time, we go to festivals. We see that there's a mark of distinction between the land and the sea. We have the bank of the ocean or the bank of the river. So that's the borderline between the land and the ocean, or the land and water. So like that, Titishta Shakti, like that, we are that marginal potency that between the material world and the spiritual world. So with all we marginal, we are spiritual by nature. That's our eternal identity. We are spiritual souls. So we are spiritual. So we are not products of the material world. We are products of the spiritual world as individual jivas. But by arrangement, by our own independence, we choose, or we are here in this material world. And when we are here, we are forced to act under the condition and the direction of Mahamaya, of the Lord's external energy. So we are forced to act in different ways, and in so doing we are thinking that we are independent. But according to Bhagavatam, that's when we are more dependent, because we are forced by our senses, by our material intelligence and activities and tendencies to act in a certain way, which is most times contrary to what is beneficial for us. For example, we know that what is beneficial for us is to eat healthy. But due to our tendency, we were forced to eat something that's abominable or something that is not acceptable to our body, and thus become unhealthy. So that's one way how we are forced to act in these different ways. So the Lord's energy creates that atmosphere to keep us like that. But when we decide by our own minute independence and by the blessings and the association of devotees, Vaishnavas, sadhus, then we are able to make a choice for the betterment. So we are able to make a choice for ourselves to take to spiritual practice, to take to Krishna consciousness, and or to allow ourselves to be transformed into the spiritual potency or yoga maya. So that's a decision that we have to make. And when that happens, from the time we starting to turn like that, then the Lord's energy, maya, which now takes on a different meaning, is now yoga maya. And even above yoga maya is another maya, which has another meaning that is now described as compassion, as the Lord's compassion. So when we switch from the material world getting into spiritual activities, then we are transforming ourselves into yoga maya, or under the influence of yoga maya, which instead, on the contrary of Mahamaya, which suppresses us, we are now getting under the influence of yoga maya, which elevates, which assists us in getting free from the clutches of this material world, getting free from material activities, and give us a chance to advance spiritually. So this, with all we are spiritual beings as spirit souls, and with all we are supposed to be constitutionally in the Lord's yoga maya potency, and with all we are in Krishna consciousness, one big problem that arises is that sometimes we don't always act in that position. So it's one thing to be in our constitutional position, to be as spirit souls and to be in that position to act in a spiritual way. But sometimes, with all we are in that position there, we don't always act in uphold of that position. And many a times that's where our personal problems comes about. At least for my own self, I can speak. So many a times that happens. So the Lord guarantees that once we turn back to Him, take to Krishna consciousness, take to spiritual practice, that our position is secured by His maya, by His compassion. That's another description Srila Prabhupada gave, another explanation of the word maya. It means the Lord's compassion. By His compassion, He secures a spot for us at His lotus feet. So that position is secured, it's there. But we have to be qualified to take it. Just like you may have the father, he has his wealth, and then he would secure positions for his children. Well, here are your inheritance, it's there for you. But unless you become mature to use it properly, I'm not going to give it to you. Another place where I'm doing some part-time management for, you know, he always complains to me that his only son, he wants him to take over where he's leaving off with his business. His position is there, everything is there, but he can't give it to him, and he's scared because he's not acting properly, he's not acting responsibly, he's not acting to fulfill that capacity. So similarly, with the Lord, our position is there, our security is there. It's already a sign, once we take to spiritual life, that our position is secured in Krishna consciousness. It's secured at the Lord's lotus feet. But we have to act in that way to fit ourselves in that position. So while the position is eternal, it's there, sometimes we jump around. Just like with the ocean, the banks of the ocean, or the sand, whatever is there, that differentiates between the water and the land. So, but sometimes when the water takes over, the tide gets really high and gets rough, then it covers the bank and it covers the ocean. So sometimes like that, we as spirit souls, we are covered. Many a times we are, with all we are in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we become covered temporarily by these, by material activities. And then all of a sudden, the waves go, we get ourselves together again, and then we can, we are able to figure out, well, we're supposed to be acting in Krishna consciousness. So here, the different potencies of the Lord is acting on us. So if we allow the material potency to act fully, then that takes charge. If we allow the spiritual potency to act fully, then Yogamaya takes charge. But because we have independence, we are allowed to make our choices. And our loving Father, Krishna, is there watching over and trying to provide facilities, giving us, showing us different examples and giving us different lessons to show that we have a very good opportunity in being with Him and becoming part of His program instead of becoming part of the program of the material world. So all these Vedic literatures are there to guide us. And Krishna is giving so much examples. Even in the material world, if you walk around every day, if we apply our intelligence, we will see so much opportunity to not be a part of the material world, but to be a part of Krishna consciousness, to be a part of spiritual life. There are so much opportunities that are there. We just have to look at it and recognize. That's why Lord Chaitanya described his advent and describes in Bhagavatam 11th canto, Krishna Varnam to say Krishnam Sangopangasha Parshadam. That those who are gifted with the right intelligence, they would choose to worship the Lord who came in this form. So as devotees, we have that opportunity. Our position is secured. We can say, well, we're already here. What our problem is how much we're taking advantage of that, of this position that we're in. How much we're taking full advantage of our facilities that we're having in Krishna consciousness. I mean, I'm not pointing this out to anyone, but if we look around, then we can see that there are something, or many things, or in many ways in which we are holding back ourselves in fostering or allowing the Lord's Yogamaya potency to influence us. Or in other words, our surrendering process. Like we had the incident in the Mahabharata with Draupadi. Krishna was there with Rukmini in Dwarka. They were there on the swing. Then all of a sudden, Krishna's mind starts going haywire. And he got up and he was walking to the door. Then he got frustrated, he came back. And all of a sudden he starts like he was out of his mind. So Rukmini was asking, what's happening to you? All of a sudden, you know, you are blissful, happy. It's sometimes you would see people with bipolar disorder. You know, they would be in a good mood and all of a sudden they're in a really bad mood. But Krishna is not like that. This was transcendental. So anyway, he was switching moods and he was going back and forth and getting frustrated and come back, sit down, going again. So then Rukmini was asking, what's wrong with you? You know? So then he said, well, my devotee Draupadi, she's being harassed. That's when she was being harassed by the Kuravas when they were trying to disrobe her. She would try to surrender. She would pray to me, ask me for help. And when I'm going to help her, then she start taking things in her own hands again. That's when she start fighting back to try to pull the sari. I guess you all know the story. So at that point, when she start taking things in her own hands, then she debars Krishna from going forward to help her. So then Krishna got frustrated, came back on the swing. She started praying, oh, Krishna, help me. Krishna came back. As soon as he was going to the door, she started fighting again, taking things in her own hands. So as devotees, many times we were like that. At one point, we would surrender. We would start thinking, okay, let Krishna take care. And then at another point, let me fight it, see what I can do. So we're kind of going back and forth because, you know, we're not as purified, many of us, or at least for myself. So we start taking things in our own hands. And because of that, then we are restricting the Lord's maya, his compassion, to fully shower on us, to fully take control of our activities, and thus give us the full opportunity of going back home, back to Godhead. So it is totally up to us when we are acting in Krishna consciousness, or when we are in Krishna consciousness. There are many times we are in Krishna consciousness, but like what Srila Prabhupada describes, now, you know, we're all in Krishna consciousness, but sometimes we're not a whole lot convinced that Krishna consciousness are within us. So with all, we are having a glorious opportunity, we are in spiritual practice, that we are subjecting to the Lord's spiritual potency, Yoga Maya. Sometimes we think, okay, because we're secured, then we can perform different activities. One time Srila Prabhupada said, okay, he was imitating some of, I guess, his disciples, I'm not sure. So he was doing his japa, then he just dropped his bag down, his japa bag. He said, okay, now I'm finished my 16 rounds. I can do anything I want to do. So, you know, because we're feeling secure, well, okay, we're here in this temple, such a wonderful divine atmosphere, then, oh, you know, we can take an opportunity to do something that's devious to Krishna consciousness. So if you do like that, it's like the water in the ocean coming and covering the banks. It's covering us as marginal. And then if you act out of it, is the water going away, we're on land, we're safe. So in Krishna consciousness, it's like that. All the shelter is there. Or just like sometimes my little baby here, you know, they would come and hang on to us, so, you know, they're feeling confident. And all of a sudden, they just run away, you know, think that they can make it on their own, run, and then, you know, the dog in the neighborhood, yow, 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 and they run back, you know, okay. So like that we are, you know. Sometimes we would just try to be independent, then we would want to come back to be dependent and figure out, well, okay, here is our position we should be, and sometimes we forget again, and we try to run away. So like this, as devotees, we are growing in Krishna consciousness, we are growing in spiritual life, we are being kept dangling. But we should keep our focus straight, you know, to go in the right direction, to keep in that way so that Krishna's highest potency, even, you know, with his within his yoga maya, his compassion, when Krishna's compassion, you know, is allowed to overtake us, then that is the most secure position. So these are some thoughts I have here, and I want to thank you very much for being patient to allowing me to preach to myself loudly. That's pretty much what I was doing. And if there are any questions, yes?
You gave the story of Draupadi, how Krishna helped her when she finally gave up all of her own efforts to protect herself. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mama Nusmara Yujicha, that think of me and fight. So how do we balance these two things, whether we should depend on Krishna or we should endeavor ourselves to perform the activity?
You know, you have the basic saying in the material world that God help those who help themselves. That to depend on the Lord doesn't mean that we shouldn't work. Prabhupada says, work today, work now, samadhi later. So Prabhupada wasn't saying anything different. All he's saying that we should fully depend on the Lord, but it doesn't mean that we should go and stand in the middle of 2:35 when the big gondola truck is coming and say, okay, I'm depending on the Lord, but I shouldn't do anything. Now, so like that, whilst we should fully depend on the Lord, we shouldn't fail to act within our duties, within our prescribed duties. We shouldn't fail to act in that way. Like in the Mahabharata with the Pandava brothers, Maharaj Yudhisthir, one of the only time that he actually, in the history of Mahabharata, one of the very few times that he got upset was when the Kauravas, or probably more specifically, I think it was Duryodhana or Karna, don't remember which one, they accused him of not performing his duties. And he was very, very upset. He said, how can you say that I'm not mindful of my duty, that I always perform my duties? So, with all, and within that, with all what they were going through, he had to fully surrender himself and thus guide his brothers to stay behind him in that, in performance of that activities. At one time he told him that we don't know what plan the Lord has by keeping us in this condition. So, but he didn't fail to act. When it was time to fight, he didn't fail to fight. When it was time to present his arguments, he didn't fail to do that. So whilst we have to fully surrender, we also have to act. You know, we have to act in Krishna consciousness. We have to act in that way. So both has to go hand in hand. It's not in contradictory. Is that the answer? Any other questions? Trivikram Prabhu?
Okay. So usually devotee has to rise early and perform his duty. But at times, for some reason, he may overslept. That's not so often, you know. Most devotees here rise early, right? But sometimes it happens, and all aspects of his activities sometimes is being hindered. Is he being affected by Mahamaya there when that happens, or he's still under the influence of Yogamaya?
Oh, pretty much under the influence of Yogamaya. Because there are different ways you can explain that, you know, that for, like, if you say, you give the basic example of one oversleeping. So, but there are many conditions to that. Like many of Prabhupada's statements, like many times I heard devotees would quote Prabhupada, and, you know, it's basically, at least from my opinion, is they're quoting him out of context. You know, under certain circumstances, you know, Prabhupada may make one statement, and under different circumstances, he makes a different statement. Like when he was in Vrindavan, he told two sannyasis, just initiated them in sannyasa order. He said, now you became sannyas, so therefore you shouldn't stay in one place, you should travel and preach. And then he immediately turned to the other and he said, now that you have taken sannyas, you should stay here and manage, don't go anywhere. So they're both, you know, circumstantial. So similarly with what the example you're giving, you know, a devotee may oversleep for different reasons. One, because there might be a health problem. One, because, you know, on the contrary, because he might not take his spiritual practice seriously. So he doesn't feel it's important to get up and make the sacrifices. So under that circumstance where he doesn't, the second example where he doesn't take his practice seriously, then yes, that's the material nature taking over. The other part where there might be a reason, because probably he's very burnt out from his past travels, and, you know, now he came, like, traveling from L.A. to Alachua, it's like there are 3 hours in time difference, and because your schedule is accustomed to that, you know, that difference, that different time frame, when you come, it's hard to adjust right away. So, you know, that may happen, so therefore, everything has conditions for it. So it's difficult to say that a devotee is being adversely affected per se or positively affected, because there are so much conditions. That's why Srila Prabhupada, you know, always say that one of the most difficult things another devotee can try to do, or one can try to do, is to understand the mind and the activities of another devotee. That's one of the most difficult things, because a devotee may act in sometimes a contrary way, but there might be 1,000 reasons behind it why they're doing that. And I, like with my son, he's just got his CDL to drive for the bus tour, and they were pushing him to perform some other activities while he's on the tour, and he refused it under the circumstance that if he has to do all those activities and when everybody else is sleeping, he has to drive with 60 lives in his hand, then that's dangerous. So he chose to take extra rest, and I also cautioned him, hey, make sure you take extra rest because you're not driving your little car here. You know, it's so many lives are behind you. So I personally instruct him to make sure you sleep more and you get better rest, and you know, you take your meals more regularly or stuff like that, so that you can keep alert to perform your service. That's like Jayananda, for example, one of the most prominent personalities within our society. I did quite a lot of research and a lot of reading, learn about Jayananda. And whenever he eats quite a bit, you know, because he was a big person, and sometimes he eats, you know, 2 or 3 times as much as the other devotees. Now, would we say that he's in Maya? No. Because when he works 10 times as much as any other devotee too. That's like you had in the Mahabharata with Bhima and his brothers. He used to take half of what they collected, and the other 5 would take the other half. But when they're traveling, when they escape from the house of wax, he carried all of them on his shoulders for so many miles. And when they got tired, the ones he is carrying on their shoulder, when they got tired of sitting on his shoulder, he put them down to rest, and then he stayed up and keep guard. So, you know, he didn't go to sleep. From his shoulders, they were sitting there, he put them down to rest, and then he sat and stay awake and take charge of them. So similarly, devotees act in different ways, but their purpose is behind it. So if we try to see things with a positive vision, then we can see it in the light. I can remember some time ago there was a big argument here with one devotee. He was saying that every devotee in the community should attend Mangalarti. And there were a lot of opposition to that. There were criticism of some of the senior devotees in our movement, in our Alachio community, who don't attend Mangalarti. And, you know, they were different. There was a whole kind of a circumstantial thing. I'm not sure if you remember it happened about, I don't know, 4 years ago. So there were, you know, some had no reasons for not doing that, and many had reasons for acting in the way they're acting. I know I personally, I actually, within my heart, I worship every devotee who attends Mangalarti here in this community. And I know every morning I come here, I come with a guilt that I didn't make it for Mangalarti, because it's probably my personal shortcoming, you know. I know I have health issues. Whenever I get up that early, it's really hard for me to function during the day. And I see that I function less, way less than when I may take some extra rest or just stay home and do my japa early and then come to the temple or go to my day's activities. So, you know, we're all conditioned in different ways. I'm not sure if that fully answers your question. Is there someone else had a question over here? Yeah.
So I still have some concern about the point of if we leave it up to Krishna to take care of something, or if we do it ourselves. And if you'll indulge this point a little bit further, it would help for me to have it a little more simplified for my understanding.
Okay.
So is it the difference between the internal state and then what we're doing externally, in that internally if we think I can do it versus taking shelter of Krishna?
Yeah, definitely there's a huge gulf of a difference. That a devotee acts in a certain way, but mentally he can be way far from that. Mentally he's thinking that, you know, I'm fully dependent on the Lord, and you know that whatever the results, whatever he wants to do, let him do. So he fully surrenders to that. And on a physical plane, by his facility or his ability, then he acts to the best of his knowledge. But he allows room, like Prabhupada says, first desire, then you deserve. So he desires to solve his problems in the material world. Like all of us, we're struggling with jobs and income and our Krishna consciousness. We have that desire that we want to improve, we want to go to the highest standard. But if you're thinking, well, I'm going to chant my rungs attentively and I'm going to succeed, then what we're doing, we bring ourselves back to 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the mentality of the demons, that I can do this and I can do that. With all we're thinking, it's in Krishna consciousness. You know, like I had one god brother, he passed away now. From the very beginning, he was so austere. He used to, like, he kept Ekadasi for about, I don't know, 15 years straight. You know, all he was doing was using milk and fruits. And he was thinking that by this austerity, at least that's what he personally told me towards the end, that by this austerity that I can personally do this, and I can personally, you know, by performing this and walking in all the mosquitoes, 2 o'clock in the morning with a beer copen, doing japa and performing all these austerities, that I'll be able to advance. And then towards the end, he figured out, well, you know, this is not going to work. So then he finally asked Satruk Maharaj, who used to go there at that time. He said, Maharaj, I've been performing all these austerities and then, you know, like I still can't get results. So then Maharaj told him, well, you know, you can be, he was saying that he's already 35 years old and perform his activities for so many years. He said, you can be 85 years old, but if you don't change your mentality behind the activities, then the proper results are not going to come. So whilst the physical activities, that has to be performed, because that's how we express ourselves, that's how we express our love and our activities in Krishna consciousness through our bodies, but the right mentality has to be there behind that it's all up to Krishna. You know, Srila Prabhupada also said the same thing when he came and he wrote that poem. You know, he said, Krishna, you brought me here, so let me dance in whatever way you please. So, and he's acting. Srila Prabhupada didn't say, well, okay. With all, he had a dream on the Jaladuta, that Krishna says, you just go and I'll take care of everything. Everything is going to happen. Prabhupada had that confidence. Unfortunately, at least me, I don't have that confidence. I never got that kind of a dream. Well, okay. You know, there are some things here and there, you get some vision or get some kind of a, you know, enlightenment. But not something like that, where the Lord personally said, hey, you go, and you just go, everything's already arranged. But Srila Prabhupada didn't go and sit around, well, okay, everything arranged, let me sit back at the Agarwal's home, and everything's going to happen. So he acted, he carried on his duties, but with full surrender. So the activity should be one, and the mentality has to be, you know, the right thing. So, okay, so I guess it's time to stop here. I want to thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.